This very special service to mark the sending forth of our brother Mr. Andrew Foster. Andrew is a member of the congregation here in Cumber, and as a congregation we rejoice that the Lord has been pleased to call another member out of our congregation into full-time service. Over the past number of years, the Lord has been pleased to call a number of ones from our congregation. Our brother Mr. Robert McConnell, who serves under the mission board as a child evangelist, and then of course the Reverend Paul Foster, the Reverend Julian Patterson, and then Mr. Andrew Murray, who's in the college, and then of course now our brother Mr. Andrew Foster. We will miss Andrew here in Cumber. He has not only been a faithful member, a warrior in prayer, but he's always been willing to put his hand to the plough, whether in outreach or in youth work or in some other service. However, we do rejoice tonight that the Lord has opened the door for him to serve in Uganda. And we know that with his previous missionary training and his service in the mission field, along with his studies in the Whitfield College, have prepared him to go out to the land of Uganda. In Acts chapter 13, we find the Holy Ghost separating Barnabas and Saul, not just for any work, but we read in the verse 4 of that chapter, "For the work whereunto I have called them." And we believe tonight with all of our hearts that the Lord has called Andrew to serve in the land of Uganda. And as a congregation here in Cumber, I want to assure you, Andrew, of our prayers and of our support in the days that lie ahead. I would also tonight like to welcome the members of the Mission Board to the meeting tonight, and especially its chairman, the Reverend Ian Harris. And after the opening hymn, he will lead the rest of the service. Could also say that after the service tonight, supper will be served across in the church hall, so don't rush away, just make your way across and you can have supper in the church hall. Can I just make one announcement for our own congregation? And that is the funeral for Mr. Raymond Stanix will be here in the church tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. We're going to commence our worship tonight by singing together the hymn number 500. The hymn 500, it's on page 377. "Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but an aim, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same." The hymn 500 will stand while we worship the Lord.
We're pleased this evening to have with us two members of our mission board, Reverend Garth Wilson, Minister of Sandown, our brother Mr. Barry Stewart from Macrofelt, one of our elders there. And we're going to ask these two brethren to come and to lead us to the throne of grace in prayer.
Let's bow in prayer and let's see God's face upon our gathering tonight. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we draw humbly into thy presence. We are thankful again for the access that we have to thee in prayer. We thank thee, O God, tonight for that mercy seat where Jesus hears and answers prayer. Yea, Lord, we thank thee most of all tonight for he who is our mercy seat. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, this evening for all his merits and all his righteousness. Lord, as we come to approach thee tonight, as, Lord, we would seek to draw nigh to thee, we acknowledge, O God, that our only means of approach to thee is on the means and the grounds of redemption. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you, Lord, for the one who gave his all there on Calvary's cross. We thank you, Lord, for the one who gave his very life's blood that we might be redeemed. That we might be brought to God. We might be taken out of the darkness of sin and brought into the light and the liberty of the gospel. And our Father, this evening as we come to thee, we come, Lord, to pray for thy blessing upon this very special service. And Lord, we pray particularly this evening for our brother Andrew. We thank thee, O God, for that day in his life when you saved him. We thank thee, Lord, for that day when you opened his eyes to see his great need of a Saviour. And Lord, we thank thee for turning his eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for the work of redemption wrought in his heart and life. And we thank thee, Lord, for that life of service that you've given to him. We thank thee, Lord, that he has sought to dedicate his life to thee. And Lord, we rejoice, O God, this evening in a young life that has been given entirely and wholly over to the Lord. And our Father, we pray that you'll richly bless him. Lord, as he would take this step and go to Uganda in thy will. Lord, we thank thee for him. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless him richly. Lord, even this night we ask, O God, that he'll know much of the help of heaven. And Lord, that as he would leave home and family behind, we just pray, Lord, that you'll give that very special grace that is needed. We ask, O God, that each family member might know that as they would say their farewells to their dear loved one, Lord, that he's going at the will, call of God and the will of God. Lord, we thank thee tonight that there's no better place, no more secure, no safer place we would rather be than in the will of God, whether it be in this land or in other lands. Lord, we believe, we know beyond any shadow of doubt that Andrew is going in the will of God at the call of God. And we thank thee, Lord, for his obedience. We thank thee, Lord, for his faithfulness. We pray, Lord, that as he would go and take up and join the team there in Uganda, we ask, O God, that you'll richly bless him. Lord, we just pray for thy hand of blessing upon him personally. Lord, we pray that as he would go, that he'll settle in very quickly. We ask, O God, you'll give him that acceptance amongst the children, the workers and the teachers there and the co-workers there as well. We just pray, Lord, you'll richly bless them together. Lord, we thank thee for those who are serving thee. We think of our sister Noreen tonight. Bless her. Encourage her. Pray, Lord, for our brother Miller and his dear wife as well. We thank thee, Lord, for their faithfulness and their obedience as well. And we ask, O God, that as a mission team there in Uganda, Lord, that they'll know much of the blessing of God in their lives. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue to do great and mighty things there. We thank thee, Lord, for opening this door. We thank thee, Lord, for giving to us as a denomination this means of witness and service for thee in Uganda. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless the team, Lord, as they seek to work together. Our Father, we pray that you'll just encourage each one we ask of thee at this time. But Lord, especially for this meeting tonight, we ask, O God, that the very atmosphere might be charged with God the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you'll sanctify this place with the Spirit of God. And we pray, Lord, that as thy servant is set apart and as he is sent forth, we pray, Lord, that you'll richly bless him. We ask, O God, for all who'll take part tonight in any way. Lord, we just pray that the help of heaven might be known. And especially, Lord, the one who'll break the bread of life. Give him that very special word, Lord, as you have given to him. We pray, Lord, you'll give him help to give to us tonight, we pray. So our Father and God, we just pray that you'll help us as we continue on, wait around the throne of heavenly grace. As our brother Barley, as he comes now, leads us in prayer and continues with us in prayer. Just pray, Lord, you'll bless everything that's said and done in this place tonight. And Lord, that in all and through all, the man of God, Lord, that man at thy right hand, our Son, thy Son, our Saviour, might have all the preeminence, all the glory. Thou alone art worthy of this. Hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, as we continue on in your presence, we thank thee, Father, for your love and your mercy towards us. And while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. We thank you, Lord, that not only did he die, but he, Lord, rose again, and he's at thy right hand, pleading our cause. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before thee, and we, Lord, we say in the words of the hymn, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the one, the Nazarene, and wondered how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. But Father, we praise and thank thee, Lord, that your ear is not deaf, that it cannot hear, nor your arm short, that it cannot save. And we thank you, Lord, that we come before thee as a saved sinner. And we come into thy presence and seeking thy help and thy guidance throughout this gathering tonight. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for such a meeting as this. Lord, when you call a young man to, Lord, to go into full-time service for thee, and we pray, Lord, in his own heart, Lord, right now, that you will come with that sweet peace of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, and Lord, that it, Lord, it comforts. Lord, as we go along life's pathway, we pray, Father, that you will be with him and be his guide. Father, we remember, Lord, how, Lord, the children of Israel, how they wandered in the wilderness. And yet, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, that you looked after them. You fed them with manna and you give them the water out of the rock. O God, we thank thee, Lord, for your precious word. For thy word is truth, is ever settled in heaven. And our Father, you have so ordained, Lord, for the preaching of thy word and for the sowing of the seed. And we pray, Heavenly Father, as the seed goes forth from our brother's, Lord, testimony and by his witness in the mission field, we pray, dear God, that you will water and you will bring forth the increase. Spirit of the living God, come amongst us tonight. We pray, Father, that you will take the thoughts of Lord, of this day that has gone past. And Lord, the thoughts of tomorrow, and Lord, we pray, Father, that you will bring us into your presence in such a way, Lord, that thy word, that we'll hear from thy servant as he would speak thy word. We pray, Father, it'll be anointed of the Spirit of God, that he will speak as thus and saith the Lord. We pray, Lord, that every person that is gathered in this meeting house tonight, we pray, Father, that they'll go away from this place saying, it was good for us to have been here, for here we met afresh with the Lord. Lord, that's what we need from thee tonight. We need a touch from thee. We need, Lord, such the presence of the Lord that, O God, that the joy and the peace that passes all understanding will be our portion tonight. Bless the one who would lead. And our Heavenly Father, those who would, Lord, read the scriptures, and Lord, every, Lord, part of this gathering, we pray, Father, it will be owned of thee. Bless, we pray. For our God, we pray at the end of our gathering, if there should be one without Christ, without hope, we pray that they'll realize of their need of Christ, the one who gives eternal life, the one who satisfies. Father, we pray, Lord, that we will, Lord, go away from this place rejoicing again in the presence of the Lord. Close us in with yourself. Give us joy in our hearts as we sing the songs of Zion.
and bless, we pray. We ask it all for the glory of the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now turn with me, please, to hymn number 515. As we further worship God together, hymn number 515, let me also add my welcome to that of the Reverend Murray this evening. It is very encouraging to see everyone gathered in and a good representation from so many different churches. We're very grateful to the church here in Cumber for hosting this sending forth service. We thank God for this congregation and for young men of God that have been raised up in it and put out into the Master's harvest field, and we pray the Lord will bless us all tonight. It's good to see members of the Mission Board with us, the Missionary Council, other members of our presbytery and ministers here. We welcome you all in the Lord's great name. It's lovely to have with us tonight also our brother Dr. Bill Woods, still in missionary service in the land of Brazil, and we welcome him very warmly in the Lord's great name. Let's stand as we sing hymn number 515, and then immediately afterwards, the Reverend Paul Foster is going to come and read the scriptures tonight and to pass on a little word of encouragement from the family. And of course, Paul is Andrew's brother. You can work out for yourself who comes first, A or B, so I'll say nothing more. Hymn number 515, let's stand together to sing as we worship God. Thank you.
Before I read the scriptures, could I just take this opportunity and say a few words to Andrew on behalf of the family. The first thing I want to say to you, Andrew, is that as a family we are very proud of you. We are proud of the love that you have for the Lord. The Lord has given you a great gift with your hands, and while you could have used that gift in many ways, yet by God's grace you have chosen to use it for the one who has loved you and given himself for you. We're also proud of the submission that you have made to the Lord. For someone who loves to work with their hands and to get stuck into any project that there is, yet you've been willing to go back to college and to use your head as well as your hands and to take time to learn. And we are very proud of the fact that you're willing to submit to the Lord. Furthermore, we are proud of the sacrifice that you are making for the Lord. It's one thing to serve the Lord in your homeland where your family and friends are, but it is another thing to be asked to leave them and then to leave them and serve the Lord in a foreign land. And this you have been willing to do. And as I have said, we are very proud of you as a family. That brings me to the second thing I'd like to say, and that is that, Andrew, as a family, we will miss you. You are a much loved son, a much loved brother, a brother-in-law, nephew, cousin, and of course an uncle, and we will miss you in our own ways. And finally, Andrew, I want you to know that we will be praying for you. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, we're told of a man called Jabez, and he prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And certainly that is our prayer for you, that oh, that the God of Israel, the God of promise, that he would bless you indeed, that he would enlarge your coast day by day, that greater knowledge of him who has loved you, and that greater heart of love for him, that he would keep you from evil, that his hand would be with you. And as Jabez's prayer was answered, the Lord be pleased to answer this prayer. The Lord bless thee, and the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace day by day. At this stage, if you could turn, please, in the living word of God to the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 9. The Gospel of Luke and the chapter 9. In this chapter, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been serving his Father in Galilee. And we read about how he sets his face to go to Jerusalem, where he will go to be crucified for us. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And let us hear the word of the living God. "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, 'Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head.' And he said unto another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.' Jesus said unto him, 'Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house.' And Jesus said unto him, 'No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" May the Lord bless his word to your hearts tonight.
Thank you, Paul. We're pleased to have with us this evening Reverend David Park. Reverend Park is the Secretary of our Mission Board, Chairman of our Missionary Council. And I asked him this evening if he'd just give us a little bit of the background, very briefly, of the work in Emmanuel, in the Salo, in Uganda. Many of you will have heard Andrew on his deputation round, but just to bring everyone with a little bit of background and up to date of where we are now. So, I'd ask the Reverend Park.
Seemed the appropriate thing to bring greetings. If you're in Africa, everyone that gets up to speak brings greetings. And we do that certainly on behalf of the Mission Board. We do it on behalf of the Missionary Council. And it's appropriate to do it on behalf of those that are serving the Lord in Africa and especially in Uganda. Noreen, of course, can't be with us tonight, but she's thinking very much about this meeting and all that is taking place as another is being sent forth by the Lord. I was the first to bring both Paul and Andrew to the Whitfield College of the Bible. I was just sitting thinking about that tonight. It was way back in Portavogie days. They came on the camps that we used to have there. So it's a joy for me to be here and just to give a little outline of what's been happening in Uganda and where we are today. Must be about 3 years ago when we were first approached to take over the mission station that is at Nasalu there in Uganda. And so the Mission Board, thinking about it, praying about it, sent two men. And one is here tonight, the Reverend McMillan, who will speak to you, and the other, our brother George McConnell. And they went out, just like the two spies of old, to spy out the land and to see if this was something that perhaps we could do, take over the mission station. Both of them brought back a good report, and that led to others being sent out to see the missionary work there. And then the long process that was entered into to secure the property, getting all the paperwork done, all the legal parts put into place. The keys were officially handed over to our brother, the Reverend Miller, and his wife on the 1st of January this year. So that was the official handing over of the work to the Free Presbyterian Church. And then on the 30th of April, the reopening of the school under the auspices of the Mission Board took place. Currently, there are 270 children enrolled at the school, and if you've been following reports, you'll know that 60 of them live on site, 30 of which are orphan children. The school was originally set up to help those that were most underprivileged, and I suppose you could say nearly all children in that area are underprivileged, and that means that when they come to the school, they don't have fees. The parents in the main can't afford for their children to be at the school, so all that money has to be raised. Like a little girl that was brought to the school just 2 weeks ago by the name of Hadija, and she had grown up with her granny. She doesn't know her parents. We do not know where the parents are, but the grandmother took ill and handed her over to neighbours who had a connection with the school, and so they brought her to the school, and they came to the principal and said, "Can you take her?" And that means taking her into the school, giving her lodgings, giving her food, and providing for her. And so after a little time, the decision was made, the fees were waived, and Noreen said, well, could the family or the neighbours provide even the requirements? And that's just the basic things that you would need to be a boarder at the school. And they looked at the list, and the first thing they said, well, she doesn't even have any shoes. Anyhow, the little girl was received into the school and all those needs have been provided for. The Reverend Miller and his wife Ruth are presently home doing their deputation work, hopefully returning to the field next year. And then we have our sister Noreen McAfee, who came to be the principal of the school at Easter time of this year. And now we have another being sent forth by the Lord of the Harvest and by the Presbytery and the Mission Board of our church to be a missionary in that land. And Andrew is going as our development officer. I don't know whether any missionary has ever received that title before. He might be the very first one, and his responsibility will be to develop the site, and there's a lot of work to be done, and also to develop the lives of young people there in the Christian faith. Perhaps you followed developments last year. If you've been reading the magazines, solar power was installed, and that has brought life-changing encouragements to the people there, for they now have electricity. And this year, back at the opening time, they were in the process of repairing the harvesting system for water, and new tanks were put in place. And even since then, as you know, the borehole has been sunk, and no longer do the children have to walk down to the swamp to get dirty water and bring it back to the school, and to do that several times in the day, but there's clean, fresh water on site, and we rejoice in what the Lord has done there. A play park was built, IT equipment installed, and we have been able to provide uniforms and clothes and shoes for the children. Now, Andrew has a line of work before him. The missionary accommodation needs to be upgraded, and so this will be one of his first tasks, getting those rooms that are there, just really walls, just a shell of a building, renovated and made into suitable accommodation for our missionaries, our other missionaries that are there. And the school kitchen, it needs, if you saw the school kitchen, it really is just open fires with large pots, and they put branches, they don't cut the wood like you and I would, they just put the branches in as they burn, they keep pushing them in to the fire. So there is going to be an installation of a new kitchen. And then a shower and toilet block is going to be installed, and that's all going to be upgraded. So this is part of the physical work, the practical work that Andrew will engage in when he goes to the mission field. And we're glad to be able to say that all the financial needs for these projects have been met. There have been churches and individuals that have stepped in, and the needs have been provided. Andrew will disciple young believers. He will catechize them in the things of God. This will involve memory work and discussions with them. He will also preach every 5 to 6 weeks, and that will give some help to the resident minister. He will eventually undertake language training, and he will learn the language of the country. Though the education language is English, there is a local language in the land, Lugandan, and when he settles in, gets orientated there, he will begin to learn the language. And then he's going to get married. I don't think that's a secret. No, he's got engaged. That all sort of got out into the open. And we have the opportunity as a mission board, the subcommittee that looks after Uganda, to talk to his future wife, Hannah. That was all done by Skype in these modern days. And the scripture says, he that findeth himself a wife findeth a good thing. And in the will of the Lord, they will be married, and he'll be bringing her to the mission field. We're setting him aside tonight as a missionary. But we are asking those that are here and those throughout our denomination to pray and to support Andrew all you can. I want you to pray for the Emmanuel Christian School, the children that are being educated there. I want you to pray for the mission station, the church, the preaching of the gospel. We are now fully responsible for the running of the school. And you and I are those here at home who hold the ropes of prayer and support our missionaries at the throne of grace. Andrew, you go forth with the blessing of the denomination, with the prayers of God's people, and we trust the Lord will make your way successful in the gospel and all that you do practically. God bless you, brother.
Thank you very much. Now we have with us tonight our treasurer. It's always very good to bring the treasurer with you of the mission board, our brother Mr. Alistair Hamilton. And I'm going to invite him to come, make a little presentation on behalf of the board to Andrew.
Mr. Harris, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here this evening at such an important meeting for our brother, Andrew Foster. Andrew, as you go forth at the Lord's call to serve him, the mission board commends you for your willingness to take this step. And we really are looking forward to your work in the development of our Emmanuel Christian School and the church there at Nisalu, Kulungu District in Uganda, which will be your new home. It has been a real encouragement to all of the members of the Mission Board as we have met with you, Andrew, over the past few months, several times, to develop the opportunity that you saw in the Lord's work. It was great to see your burden specifically for the Lord's work, and as it became more developed for the work in Uganda specifically. We've all been struck by the timing of your approach to the Mission Board. As Reverend Park has already said, this has been a 3-year journey for us as we've developed the opportunity that came our way in the Lord's will to open the door of that school in Uganda. And while we had many encouragements in the early days as the Lord did open that door and those legal and land issues were resolved, there was always one issue ahead of us. Those of us, including the two men who went on the first visit and those who came behind, all brought back this great desire and this need to develop the site out there. And at that point in time, we did not have anyone in sight who could do that work. And then the Lord opened the door even further. And you, Andrew, came along with an experience, with a desire and a will to fill that very need for us on the Mission Board that we were struggling with at that time. And we look forward with anticipation to your oversight of the development of the compound there in Nisalu. Be assured that as you go forth with both our prayers and our practical support, that we as your employer are here to support you. We will ensure that your supporters and the wider church family here at home will know of your work out there as it progresses. But we will also assure you, as we do here tonight, of our prayerful support for the work and for your work specifically as you take it forward out there. And we know that the words of Deuteronomy 30 and verse 16 are most applicable on this occasion. The Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest. So could I ask you now, Andrew, to come forward and accept a little gift on behalf of the Mission Board. They made a little bit of joke about the treasure being here. It's even more difficult when the treasure is a Ballymena man. But I can assure you tonight we are going to be generous. And Andrew, may the Lord bless you as you go forth into the land of your calling at this time. And may this be a little encouragement to you as you go forth. Thank you.
Well, can I start off by saying thank you for everyone coming tonight. It is a pleasure to be with you, and it is lovely to see you all here. I would like to thank Mr. Hamilton and the Mission Board for this gift. It really does take a lot for a missionary to be on the field, and so I thank them for their support. I would also like to thank them for all the work that they do. In truth, we probably don't realize the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes. And so I thank them for all their labours and trust that the Lord will bless them in their endeavours. I want to thank the Whitfield College of the Bible as well, both to the principal and to the staff for all their labours. It was a year, you could say, that was enjoyable in one sense, and maybe not so much whenever it comes to exam time. But in truth, it was a year that I will never forget. And I know I learned things of great importance from both the classes and, of course, even the students that I had the joy of spending time with. I would like to take this opportunity to, of course, thank those churches who have supported me as I did deputation in the last year. I'm not sure exactly how many meetings I undertook, but looking back, it is easy to say that God was good. I want to thank my friends and wider circle family for their continued support, and for all that they have done for me over the years. To those who have helped me, or given me things, or sorted things for me, I would like to say that it has been appreciated. It doesn't matter whether it was lending me tools, or transport, or giving me a pair of shoes, or financial support, or booking flights for me whenever I couldn't do it myself, or sending me encouragement through verses of scripture. I really am blessed to have those around me who have helped at every stage. I also want to thank the Lord for my family. In some ways, I think I have the best younger brother that a brother could have. And I want to thank him tonight, not just for his words tonight, but for all his encouragement in the past. I also want to thank my mother that does so much for me. You could say that I kind of feel like the baby of the family who is spoiled rotten. And I don't know if she ever imagined over 33 years ago that I'd still be at home at the age of 33. But I thank you for all that you have done for me. I couldn't possibly list all that you have done for me and do for me. But as my biggest supporter, your love and sacrifice and sacrificial support, has not gone unnoticed. And so I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the small things as well as all the big things that you've done. As I come to the end, I suppose, of thanking everyone, I want to thank, of course, the Cumber Church. I want to thank the Reverend Murray, the elders, the committee, and last but not least, all those who have supported me financially over the last 6 years. In John 15, verse 5, we read that without me you can do nothing. And so I thank the Lord tonight for a church that has always been behind me in every way. And not only have you been a church that has supported me financially, but you have been a church that has faithfully prayed for me. And it is one of the greatest testimonies that a church can have to be a people of prayer. When I'm here at home, I have often heard my name mentioned in prayer. And I know with my whole heart that it is the same even when I am not here. It has been a great encouragement in the past during times of struggle to know that when things are difficult on the field or when I do feel like giving up, that I am not forgotten. To know that there are those at home holding the ropes, as it were, asking for the Lord to bless and undertake was at times a tremendous comfort. Why? Because we have a God who hears and answers prayer. And like it says in Lamentations 3, great is his faithfulness. So as I leave next Thursday, I would appreciate your prayers for all that lies ahead. If you don't have a prayer card or a bookmark, and then please do take one as you leave tonight. They are there on the table outside the door. But if you do have a bookmark, you have maybe noticed that there are four prayer requests on it. About a year ago, I thought long and hard about what I wanted prayer for. And so I'd like to just take a minute and just show briefly the thought behind them. The first one was wisdom in building. And what I mean by that is that I would appreciate your prayers, not just for what we would build physically, but most important, for the building of relationships. The physical, while it has its importance, is really only our shop window. And so while it gets attention, it is not the ultimate goal. So I ask for you to pray that as a community who would come to our shop window, the Ugandan Christian School, that we will have the wisdom that we need and the opportunity to build relationships that allow us to reach them with the gospel. The second prayer request then is for church growth. It is fairly straightforward in a sense that yes, we want the church to grow. And I say it everywhere we go, what we need is not only souls saved, but those who love God will seek to live for God and have that desire to reach others. Please pray for church growth, for a church that one day can be left on their own. As a missionary, our task is ultimately to do ourselves out of a job. And so please pray that one day we might have the joy of seeing that happen. Thirdly then, please pray for community relationships. Using the simple saying that people don't care what you have to say until they know that you care. People and relationships really do matter. We must break down barriers, and what breaks down barriers is love. And so how might we show love? Well, we give them our time. We learn their names. We show them that we genuinely care. And ultimately, as has been said, we learn their language. So please pray that we will be able to develop deep and meaningful relationships where we can communicate on a level that they understand best. Because when it comes to the gospel, it is a matter of life and death. Lastly then, the fourth one is teamwork. You might think, oh, surely that won't be a problem. Well, you might be surprised to hear that the biggest reason the Lord's work fails on the mission field is because of poor teamwork. And I'm sure you can imagine it for yourself. There's always those that we love to spend time with, and then there are those that we wouldn't necessarily want to spend 24/7 with. And so imagine what it might like, what it might be to spend all your time with the same people, and then you'll start to understand what I really mean. Please pray that we don't get on each other's nerves, and that we will always love one another and support each other no matter what the situation. Lastly then, tonight I want to thank the Lord for saving me and for allowing me the opportunity to serve him in this way. Because while I have let him down many times, he has never let me down. And on my deputations I said that it really is our privilege as redeemed believers to be a part of his work. And it really is. He didn't have to use us. He certainly doesn't need us in that sense, but he has chosen to use us. He has allowed us to be a part of his work. And so what an opportunity we have to see even more of his goodness and faithfulness in whatever time that we have left as we live for him. I want to say thank you again, and before I forget, I'd like to say thank you to all those who have catered for tonight's supper, and for all those, of course, that would serve as well. Thank you very much. I would appreciate your prayers in the future as well.
Now turn with me, please, to hymn number 518. We'll make this our offering hymn this evening. I know many of you have met Andrew coming in. You'll get opportunity to speak with him further over in the hall. We thank him for speaking tonight, outlining those prayer requests. We assure him again of our prayers and of our love in the Lord and of our best wishes for him. I did receive yesterday, last evening, a little note from her sister Noreen for Andrew. And she says, "Dear Andrew, greetings from Emmanuel Christian School. The Salu in the Saviour's precious name. We just wanted to let you know that we are all thinking about you and praying for you as you make your final preparations and say farewell to family and friends. We're really looking forward to welcoming you, and we pray that you will be mightily used of God in our midst. May God bless and keep you as you travel and come to settle amongst us. Yours in Christ, Noreen McAfee." And then she's put those lovely words of Psalm 121, verse 8. "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in." And then also a little note from our brother, Mr. Stephen Miller. We're glad to have our sister Ruth with us this evening, Stephen's wife. Stephen has a deputation meeting this evening, but he just sent this little note. "Sorry I'm unable to be with you for your farewell service. I know that your arrival in Uganda will be much anticipated by all at the mission station. Ruth and I look forward to joining you there next spring, God willing, and are praying that the Lord will make your first months in the work to be a great blessing to yourself and those among whom you work. In Christ, Stephen Miller." John 9 and verse 4. And also this evening, our brother Reverend Kelvin Stripp sent me a special note to pass on his greetings and his best wishes to you and assure you of his prayers and the prayers of his family as you lunch out with the Lord. Now, this offering this evening will go to the support of our brother, Mr. Foster. In the will of God, he'll be out in Uganda for the next 3 years. Now, we're very glad for all of the support that has come in for him. And it's because that support has come in, we can send him forth. We can't send missionaries forth if the support is not there. So under God, the Lord has brought that support then, and we're indebted to so many of God's people for their generosity in supporting the Lord's servant. And so tonight, this money in its entirety will go into his account and will help to cover all of those contingencies that will undoubtedly arise over the next 3 years in the will of the Lord. So do remember that the offering tonight will go to the support of our brother Mr. Foster. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand, 'tis a task the Master just for you as planned. Hymn number 518 will remain seated for the opening verses, and the stewards will wait upon you for your offering.
Thank you.
stand to sing verse 2 and verse 3. And then thereafter, we'll ask the Reverend McMillan to come and bring us the word of the Lord this evening. Our brother David was one of those first spies that went out to see Uganda. Him and our brother, Mr. George McConnell. And they brought back such a good report that they convinced the mission board and ultimately the presbytery that this was a step that we should take in the will of the Lord. So we're delighted that he is here tonight as the preacher, a valued member of our board, and we trust that the Lord will bless him as he comes to minister the Lord's word tonight. Verse 2, verse 3, let's stand to change your position as we say.
Together, just for a brief word of prayer, please. We'll still our hearts. Thank you for your hand upon the meeting. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll abide with us through the close of the service tonight. We pray that we'll know that experience of those that went to Emmaus. The scriptures tell us that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Lord, we ask for your hand in power and in blessing to rest upon this part of the service. We pray that you'll still our hearts. Your word says, be still and know that I am God. Pray that stillness might come upon this gathering. And we ask, Father, that in the stillness that we'll sense your presence and that we'll hear your voice. And Father, it is for a word from thyself, a word from your mouth that we pray for just now. We ask thee, Father, to give us ears to hear those things that the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hear and answer these our prayers, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 9, please. And the words of the 62nd verse are our text this evening. Luke 9, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I want you to think with me for a little while tonight of the history of missionary work in the land of Uganda. And I want to encourage you, and I trust that through what is said it will encourage you to read and to study a little more of that story for yourself. Could I point out to you that at the end of the 19th century, the Anglican Church, with all its failings and all the internal fightings and struggles that were going on at that time, but the Anglican Church, no less, through its Church Missionary Society, or CMS, as it was generally known, made a concerted effort to send out missionary teams and to establish mission stations out there in East Africa, including the land of Uganda, which is of a special interest to us tonight. Of those who were sent out by the CMS at that time, the three most famous missionaries were these: Alexander Murdoch Mackay, George Pilkington, and James Hannington. Mackay was a Scotchman from Aberdeenshire. He was a brilliant engineer, worked in Berlin for 7 years. He turned down a very good job opportunity with a very lucrative salary so that he could be ready to be sent forth to Uganda whenever the opportunity arose. He decided to become a missionary after hearing Henry Morton Stanley speak. Remember, Stanley was the journalist who went out to find David Livingstone in Africa. Stanley was reporting what the king of Uganda at that time, Mutesa I, had said to him, and it was this: Uganda wanted, or Uganda needed, missionaries. And that spoke to his heart greatly. And men and women, that is still the case today. That spoke to Mackay, and it led him to lay down his life in the service of Christ. Mackay laboured in East Africa for 14 years, and he laboured so diligently that the Africans gave him a name that meant white man of work. He died in Africa at just 41 years of age. He contracted malaria, and after a short illness of just 4 days, his life swiftly drew to a close. George Pilkington, although he was from an English family, George Pilkington was born in Southern Ireland, in County Westmeath. He was influenced in his walk with God by the Keswick meetings and by the Cambridge Seven. Those seven young men, mostly from Cambridge University, who went to be missionaries in China. Pilkington was the last of these three missionaries to arrive in Uganda. He didn't commence his labours until 1891. And one of the first reports that he heard after arriving was that of the death of Alexander Mackay. Pilkington's greatest work, his greatest achievement, was translating the Bible into Lugandan, as Mr. Park mentioned, the language of Uganda. He did it to show his ability. He did it in a very short space of time, and he did it to a very high standard. At one time, when he was a little disillusioned, a little discouraged in his labours, he got alone with God out on Combe Island on Lake Victoria. And it was then, after a period of prolonged prayer, that he experienced the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And the result of that was revival in his own life, his own ministry, and also revival in the life of the church in Uganda. He also died in Africa at just 32 years of age. He died heroically in battle as he fought alongside the Ugandan soldiers as they quelled a mutiny that was taking place at that time in the east of the country. James Hannington, the third of those men, was from the south of England. He grew up near Brighton on the south coast. He was born into a wealthy family. His father owned a warehouse and also ran a department store in Brighton. Whenever he was a lad, he blew off his left thumb with gunpowder. He was just a typical sort of lad that loved the outdoor life, loved fun and games, rather than a life of books and study. But despite that, he did go to Oxford University, and he did himself proud in his studies there. So here's a young man who had everything that you would want. He had money, he had education, he had position, he had opportunity, he had everything that life could offer. But there came a day when he gave it all up just to be a servant of Christ and to be a missionary in Uganda. And it's Hannington's life, Hannington's story, I want us to focus on just for a little while tonight. I want you to know his name. I want you to know a little of his life.
I'd like you to know a little of the labours in which he engaged, and especially, I'd like you to know tonight something of the sacrifice that he made to take the gospel of Christ to that needy land. There's some important areas of his life that we want to emphasise to you, and with the help of God will apply to all gathered in the service tonight. Could I begin with his conversion? Remember that the book of Acts says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Conversion is a change that takes place in a person's life from the inside out, whenever the Holy Spirit gives you a new nature at that time when you're born again. And Hannington was converted in his early 20s. A cousin of his who was saved died young. That cousin had been staying in Hannington's home at the time of his death. And the peaceful manner in which he died really spoke to James Hannington that there was more to life than fun and adventure. He went to study at Oxford, and when he was 21 years of age, he commenced his studies there. And even though he was still unconverted, he studied to become a clergyman. Whenever the time came to sit his ordination exams, he shrank back from the step because he knew in his heart he wasn't right with God. There was a great struggle that was going on in his heart. In the words of our text, he knew he wasn't fit for the kingdom of God. At one time he thought of becoming a Roman Catholic. But whenever he read that Cardinal Wiseman's final words before he died were, let me have all the church can do for me. Whenever he read those words, Hannington saw immediately the hopelessness of depending on the church for salvation. He thought to himself that if one who had held high office in the church still needed ritual and ceremony on his deathbed, then that system must be rotten. So he gave up all thought of departing from the Protestant faith. But Hannington was converted through the correspondence of a college friend, the Reverend Dawson, who later became his biographer. Dawson was burdened for Hannington's soul, and he wrote to him giving his testimony, and he later sent him a book. At first, Hannington didn't like the book, and he threw it away, cast it from him right across the room. When he did finally read the book, and he came to the last chapter, it had this title, Do You Feel Your Sins Forgiven? Can I ask you to ponder that tonight, everyone in the meeting? That sentence spoke to him greatly. In his diary, this is how he summed it all up. Dawson opened a correspondence with me today which I can only describe as delightful. It led to my conversion. Can I ask you, men and women, brethren and sisters, as you sit in the meeting tonight, is there some relative, some friend, maybe you could write to? And under God, that letter may be used to their salvation. Hannington was converted. And brethren and sisters, let me stress to you, this is the first qualification for the Lord's work, for missionary service, to be saved, to be converted, to be born again of the Spirit. One of the greatest blights of our land in the day in which we live is unconverted people in the pulpit and leading the churches all across the land and all across the earth. And we rejoice tonight as a presbytery and as a mission board that we're sending forth a converted man. Andrew knows the Lord, saved as a boy of six through the witness of a childhood friend and his mother. And we want to pray, brethren and sisters, that as we send forth a converted man to the mission field, that many people in Uganda will be converted by his ministry and by his labours in that land. You pray, take him upon your heart. Pray the Lord will give him a soul-winning ministry. And remember, that is the primary purpose of all missionary work. In the words of the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations. You think of Barnabas. The book of Acts says he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And that's the sort of ministry that we pray Andrew will have in Uganda, that he'll be used to bring many souls there to Christ. In Psalm 68, there's a great missionary promise that is given for work in Africa. This is what it says. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. I wonder, did you ever notice those words? It's telling us that those in heathen darkness for centuries, those who in their heathenism stretched out their hands to idols of wood and stone, they will soon be converted and stretch forth their hands to Jehovah, to the true God of heaven. And what an encouragement that verse gives to us as we send forth a missionary to Africa tonight. And keep in mind, brethren and sisters, when you read of Ethiopia in the scriptures, that the ancient kingdom covered a far greater area than the nation does today. In ancient times, Ethiopia included regions to the south and to the west, where Uganda and Kenya and Tanzania and beyond now are. So what that means is that Uganda is included in the promise. Uganda shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. And remember that the Lord has already told us in His Word of the first fruits of that great harvest. You think of the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He was a man that was trusting in Christ. And remember too, when you think of the New Testament Ethiopian eunuch, there's also an Old Testament Ethiopian eunuch. There was a man in the court of King Zedekiah of Judah. He was called Ebed-Melech. He's described as the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house. And the Lord says of Ebed-Melech in the prophecy of Jeremiah, "Because thou hast put thy trust in me." So there's the Old Testament Ethiopian eunuch. He too was a believer, a converted man. So here, brethren and sisters, is the first fruits of the great harvest from Ethiopia, the first fruits of the great harvest from East Africa. So I say to you tonight, to the congregation gathered here in Cumber at this sending forth service, be encouraged as we send a new missionary to Uganda, that God is going to do a great work in that region of the earth, a great soul-winning work. And what an encouragement that gives to our hearts. Can I ask you, before moving on, can I ask you tonight, are you saved? Born again? Can you say that you're converted? What a blessing it would be for Andrew if at this his sending forth service, souls were saved, if it was marked by salvation, especially of some of his family, some of his dearest friends. What a token for good if the Lord was pleased to give him souls even before he left this his homeland. So that's a little of his conversion. Let me mention to you something of his call. After graduating from Oxford, James Hannington served as a minister of two parishes, both in the south of England. One was in Martinhoe in North Devon. The other was in Hurst Pier Point in Sussex. That was in a church building that was erected by his own father on property that his father owned. And that meant that he was ministering in his home area. But his ministry was a great blessing to his people. He comforted the bereaved. He doctored the sick. He settled disputes. He rebuked, in his own words, slackers and drunkards. And everywhere that he went, large crowds gathered to hear him preach the gospel. It was all great preparation for what was to follow in later life. Because God had placed in James Hannington's heart an interest in missionary endeavor in Africa. He had heard of Mackay and his labors, the work that he and others were doing, extracts of letters that were sent home by missionaries were published, and as Hannington read those letters, the call to Africa was sounded louder and louder and louder in his heart. And then in 1882, the news came through of two missionaries that had been murdered out there on the shores of Lake Victoria. They were Shergold Smith and a man called Mr. O'Neill. At once, without hesitation, Hannington was challenged. He wanted to go and fill one of those vacant places himself. So he offered himself for missionary service in Africa for a period of 5 years. And he was accepted by the Church Missionary Society. His call. You know the reality, men and women? There's still a great need for labourers today. Great need for labourers in Africa, Uganda, Kenya, beyond. A great need more than ever. It is still the case that the harvest is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Can I ask tonight, is there someone here? And God has been speaking, God has been calling you. Can I ask you how you've responded to that call? Have you fought against it and resisted it? You may have many ambitions, many desires, many plans for your life, as all of us had, all of us who are in the Lord's work today. But remember this, the Lord maybe has another purpose for you, a greater, a higher purpose for your life here on earth. You think of Noel Grant's great hymn, "Above thine own ambitions here." Another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee to leave thine all and follow me. Will you lay your ambitions tonight, all of them, on the altar for Christ? Remember, Peter and Andrew left their nets. James and John left the ship and their father. In other words, what that means is they left their family, they left their business, they left their career to serve Christ and to serve Him in full-time service. You willing to do the same? Think of the call of God to Abraham. He said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Is the Lord saying the same to you? Saying the same to someone here in the meeting tonight? There is another hymn we often sing. "I can hear my Savior calling." Can you hear that call? Can you hear the voice of the Savior calling you into the work even in the meeting tonight? Will you yield? Will you obey the call? Jim Elliot, who was murdered by the Oka Indians in South America, whenever he was preparing to go out to be a missionary in Ecuador, his wife was struggling with her willingness to let him go. One day she confronted him with the burning question, the question that was burning in her heart. She said, "Jim, are you sure that you're supposed to go?" He looked back at her and calmly replied, "I'm called." And that settled it, men and women. And that's what makes all the difference. And I say to you tonight, if God has called you to serve Him, maybe somewhere in the mission field, the fact is this, you will never be happy. You will never be blessed. Regardless of what else you do, where else you go, regardless of whatever else you achieve in this world and in this life, you will never be happy. You will never be blessed unless you obey the call of God in your life. The third thing I'll mention about Hannington is his country. The country of his calling, of course, was Uganda. Uganda today, in the 21st century, is still a developing country. But how different, how difficult, how challenging it must have been away back then at the end of the 19th century. How difficult and how challenging to live and to travel there. There were a number of things in particular that were a great challenge. One was the walking. Those who have been out in Uganda, East Africa, know how difficult it still is to travel on the roads, even in four-wheel drive vehicles. But remember, back then there were no cars. No trains. Remember, they didn't even have roads. They virtually had to walk everywhere, often cutting their way through the bush. On one occasion, Hannington set out with his little support group on a 400-mile trek through the countryside, just to give you some idea of the distances that they covered on foot, the walking. Another challenge was the water. We've heard a little about that tonight from Mr. Park. Still difficult to find good water in Uganda. But what a challenge away back then. You know, once on one of those treks they found a whale, but their excitement was soon dashed when they looked into the whale. Hannington said they were nearly sick on the spot. The water was green. It was filled with dead toads and vegetable matter and all sorts of other types of things. And even when they thoroughly strained and boiled that water, it still had a horrid flavour. Doesn't it show you just how desperate they were for water when they would strain and boil that type of water too? He told his children he had seen green tea before, but he'd never seen green coffee, which they drank using the water from that well. Another challenge, of course, was the warriors. Africa was filled with warrior tribes. But on their travels, they were especially concerned about meeting the notorious Maasai warriors. The young men in particular were brought up only to think of war, to think only of bloodshed. The other thing that concerned them and challenged them was weakness, bodily weakness. Because of the conditions of the country, Hannington was constantly ill with fever and dysentery. At times he was so weak he couldn't walk, had to be carried in a hammock. Once they were so sure that he was going to die that they walked out together a little into the bush to choose a spot for his grave. On another occasion, the porters thought he was dead and they just left him in the bush. But he recovered consciousness again and he staggered on himself, and when he reached the camp and the Africans saw them, they thought they were looking at a ghost. Eventually he was so weak he had to return home to England to recover, and he did it, of course, with great reluctance. That's just a little of his country. But I give you those details, men and women, and there are many other details that could be supplied. You take time to buy the book and read the story yourself. But I give you those details for this reason: to give this congregation tonight some idea of the sacrifices that he made, of the struggles that he had, of the hardness that he endured as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, just to bring the gospel to that land and to bring the gospel to those people. Some of you here tonight remember Dr. Ken Conley, the blessing his ministry was among us. Dr. Conley made some films on church history. He made one on the life of George Mueller. You may have seen it. He called it "An Obstacle to My Comfort." When I first saw that video and the title, I couldn't understand the title. But the idea is that too many Christians live too comfortable a life and love their comforts too much to be of any use to the Lord. And when Ken Conley studied the life of George Mueller, his life was an obstacle, a challenge to the comfortable lives that we live. And the fact is, men and women, Hannington's life is the same. Stands out tonight as a challenge to our comfort. Vance Havner, the American evangelist, once said, "We leave comfortable homes, we ride in comfortable cars, we sit in comfortable churches, and we thank the Lord for all those things. And we want to hear comfortable sermons." Not a good summary of many churches, many Christians today. Comfortable. Just want to hear comfortable sermons. Don't want to hear anything that will disturb the comfort that we're presently enjoying. Do you like that? You know the sign you see in the hotel door? do not disturb. Is it not true that sign hangs on the heart's door of many Christians? Is it on your heart's door tonight? Can I ask you, why do you not come to the prayer meeting in your church on a cold, wet winter's night? Are you too comfortable in the armchair, too comfortable by the fire to come and pray for souls? Why do you not come to a tent mission held out in the middle of a muddy field in your church or in your area? Is it because you might be afraid you might get a wee bit of muck on your shoes or on your car? Why do you not go to the mission field at the call of God? Is it the comforts of home that's holding you, keeping you back? The call of God, it is so clear, but friendships call and home is dear. Let me remind you tonight of C.T. Studd's great missionary statement. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice, not one that you can think of tonight, not one that you could make, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. Just ponder that afresh, men and women. Francis Ridley Havergal, the consecration poet, penned the hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be." And you know, often that's just what you mean when you sing it. That's just what you want. Just let my life be, Lord. Don't touch it. Don't disturb it. Don't do anything with it. Remember what the Savior said? Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? The bushel, the bed. There are two things in particular that smother your testimony and your service for the Lord. One is the bushel, the other is the bed. The bushel speaks of business, commerce, making money. The bed stands for luxury and for ease and for worldly pleasure. And the message of the Savior is clear, men and women. In the words that he spoke, most Christians are either too busy or too lazy to give their all to God. I wonder which it is with you. Which is it with you tonight? Are you at ease in Zion, my brother, my sister? Does that describe your life, your service at this time? If it does, then listen carefully to these words. Leonard Ravenhill, the great English evangelist, penned this challenging verse. Could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion and the whole wide world around you damned? There's one other thing about the life of Hannington, his challenge. Hannington belongs to the noble army of missionary martyrs. He not only lived his life for Uganda, but he actually gave his life, laid down his life for Uganda. Luke 9 and 62, the verse that we took for our text tonight, was a verse that guided Hannington and often spoke to him again and again through his life. No man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And men and women, James Hannington never once looked back from the call of God, even when he was face to face with death. His death took place on the 29th of October 1885, 132 years ago this coming Lord's Day. And he died when he was just 38 years of age. I think it's good for us to remember that tonight, the sacrifice of the life of the Lord's servant. Uganda, the region of Uganda where he died, and if I understand it right, is the same area where we now have our school and are seeking to labour for the Lord. Uganda was full of complex power struggles at the time. King Mutesa was now dead. His young son Mwanga was now the ruler. He felt threatened by the white man, thought the white man would bring an army and take over his kingdom. The Arabs were adding to that fear among the locals because they saw their power diminishing because of the teaching and the influence of Christianity. There was also reports of a German intrusion out on the coast, and that made the king more suspicious of the white man. So there was a whole mix of circumstances that was stirring up suspicions among the nationals, the natives. Mackay tried to get a message through to warn Harrington of the danger that he faced, but sadly he didn't succeed. Harrington was captured, was held for a week, and was then put to death by the spears of the natives. Some of his party were spared and released, and it was them that told the heroic manner in which he died. Listen carefully, men and women, to his final words. They have relevance to us tonight. He said, "Go and tell Mwanga, go and tell the king, I have purchased the road to Uganda with my blood." Harrington gave his life for Uganda and its people. We understand he's buried in two places. Part of him's buried in the cathedral in the Ugandan capital, Kampala. The other part, I'm not sure which part, the other part of him is buried in Mombasa in Kenya. And I've had the opportunity and the privilege of visiting his grave there. But brethren and sisters, the challenge, the great challenge of his life and of his death to us tonight is this. Because of the sacrifice of men like James Harrington, Uganda today is an open door for the gospel. These men didn't see great numbers saved. They didn't see great numbers converted. They were pioneers. They were men that opened up the fields for others. And the door of opportunity is open today, bought at highest cost. Let us never forget that. But Uganda is a wide open door for the gospel. But remember, men and women, that may not always be so. President Museveni of Uganda and his wife Janet, they're sympathetic to the gospel. Mrs. Museveni, we believe to be saved. In her biography, My Life's Journey, she tells of the influence of the Bible on her young life. So the president and his wife are sympathetic to the gospel, to missionary work. But remember, they will not always be in power. And the challenge for us tonight is this: to do all that we can, while we can, to establish the church, to establish the mission station, to establish the gospel there, while we're able so to do. Can I ask you, will you help us with that work? Will you give your supplications, give your prayers faithfully for our brother Andrew and the others that labor there? Will you give your substance, give of your money? Will you give yourselves? Remember, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said they first gave their own selves unto the Lord. Will you give yourself to further Christ's kingdom there in that land? A great door and effectual is open unto us. Oh, there are many adversaries. That is always the case. We're not without problems. The door that is opened is not without its difficulties. But I urge you, brethren and sisters, to help us to go through that door, to help us not to miss the opportunity that we believe the Lord and His sovereignty and His providence has been pleased to give to us. I'll finish with this challenge to your heart tonight. During the time that Harrington was back in England to recuperate, he was consecrated by the Church of England as the first bishop of Eastern Equatorial Africa, with responsibility to oversee the work there in that vast area. Consecrated bishop. But there was a higher, greater, deeper consecration in his life. He was a man that was consecrated in his heart to Christ, and especially to the work in Uganda. He had put his hand to the gospel plow, and he was determined, like Daniel of old, he had purposed in his heart that he would never turn back. He had given himself to Africa, and he was unwilling to take it back again, consecrated to Christ. And as I close, men and women, I want to make an appeal in this missionary meeting this evening. I make an appeal to you to consecrate your life, your days, your talents, your gifts to Christ and to his service and to missionary work. I leave you tonight with the words of King David, the challenge that he gave to Israel those many years ago at the building of the temple in Jerusalem. He said this: who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? See that word consecrate there? It's the idea of filling your hands. What fills your hands every day? Is it only the things of this life? Only the things of this world? The challenge to your heart tonight is, who's willing in this meeting to consecrate, rededicate their life, to fill their hands with the service of Christ this day and until the day you die? Tonight, as a mission board and as a presbytery, we're sending forth a young man to Uganda who has consecrated and dedicated his life to missionary work. And we rejoice in that. We take great encouragement from it. But I ask you, men and women, I ask you earnestly, are there others here in this congregation? And are you willing to do the same? Are you willing to make that same consecration of your life to Christ, to missionary work? Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? I pray the Lord will bless his word to every heart.
Now turn with me, please, to hymn number 670. As you're finding your place, let me thank the Reverend McMillan for his ministry tonight. It's been a real challenge and a real blessing. Maybe the Lord has spoken to someone in the gathering, young or old, tonight, and you'd like to speak to him or to any of us. We're here to help at the end of the meeting. But we do want not for you not to go home in distress of mind. The Lord's speaking to you and you haven't dealt with the matter as you ought to have done. Hymn number 670. We've come here tonight to officially send forth the Lord's young servant out into the harvest field, and we want to do it at the end of the meeting in a very particular manner, in prayer and in laying on of hands. And as we sing this first verse and the chorus, I'm going to ask our brother Andrew to come up to the front here, and I would ask the members of the session here in Cumber, together with all the members of our mission board, to join us. And if there are other members of presbytery here tonight, you please come up and join with us at the front and join with us in prayer and extend that hand of service and fellowship to our brother as he enters into the Lord's work. How many sheep are straying, lost from the Saviour's fold, upon the lonely mountain they shiver with the cold. We'll just sing verse 1 and the chorus, and when we're singing this, I want all of those brethren please to come up to the front here. Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you.
Let us just bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for Thy presence with us this evening and for Thy word and for telling us and hearing even tonight of Thy servant, Hannikin in Uganda. We thank You, Lord, for what Thou canst do through one whose life is surrendered to Thee. And our prayer tonight would be that even as Andrew would go out to the land of Uganda, that he might enter into the labours of Thy servant and even reap from the seed that he had sown Amen. In his life. We thank You, Lord, tonight for Andrew. We thank Thee that even before the foundations of the world were set, that You set Your love upon him. We thank Thee that even as a young lad, that Thou didst draw him savingly unto Thyself. We thank You, Lord, for the influence of his mum and other godly people in his life. We thank Thee for leading him on with Thyself even through those early years. And we thank Thee for even leading him out into the mission field and for service in the Philippines and Papua New Guinea. We thank You, Lord, for Your hand upon him, even in the Whitfield College and for the help that Thou didst give to him. And we thank Thee for the leadings of Thy Spirit, even in his life. We reminded tonight that how Thou didst command us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And Lord, we rejoice that not only did You give that command, but You told the disciples to wait or tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power. And we thank You, Lord, that Thou dost not only send Thy servants, but Thou dost endue them with power. And we come tonight and we pray for Andrew. We thank Thee for his willingness to go. And we pray, Lord, that even tonight, as we lay hands upon him, that Thou wouldst endue him with all the gifts and talents and power that he will need to serve Thee in the land of Uganda. We pray, Lord, fill him with Thy Spirit. We pray that You would give to him great wisdom. We ask, Lord, that You would keep him in good health and that You would watch over him day by day. We ask that even as he goes amongst the people, that, Lord, that love that Thou hast given him in his heart already for the Ugandans, that that love will deepen. And we pray, Lord, that as he mingles with the people there, that their hearts also will be knit to him, and that he will have many opportunities, even within the compound and outside the compound, to witness for Thee. And Lord, that Thou wouldst give him his heart's desire, and that he would see many precious souls won for Thee. We pray even in the practical work that he will be involved in, that even in that, Lord, guide him, keep him safe from injuries, and we pray that You would help him in all of his labours for Thee, and that You would undertake for him. We thank You, Lord, tonight for his fiancée, and we pray, Lord, that even in this time in between, that Thou wouldst prepare her also for leaving many of the comforts of life and to go to join him in the land of Uganda. We pray, Lord, that You'll be with her and bless her. We thank You, Lord, tonight especially for his mother. We thank Thee for her influence, and we thank Thee for her sacrifice and for her guidance. And we know, Lord, that she will miss him even as he leaves even next week to go to Uganda. But Lord, we pray that You would draw near to her, and that You would bless her richly in her own soul, keep her in good health, and that You would undertake for her as well. What a privilege it is to have two sons, and both sons Amen. In the service Amen. Of heaven. And so, Lord, we pray that You would be with them. Bless Andrew. Bless her mission board. We pray, give them wisdom and help, even as they seek to guide him and to meet the other needs as well. Lord, answer these our prayers. We pray that even soon, that we'll hear good reports, Amen. Reports that Thou art using our brother,
Amen.
And that souls are coming to Thee. Answer this our prayer, for we pray in our Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Andrew, may God bless you. May I show you my prayers.
We don't get often opportunities to sing such hymns as these, so we'll sing verse 4. as we conclude tonight, hymn number 670, verse 4. And we'll ask your brother, Mr. Tommy Gilmer, if he'll come up to the pulpit and pronounce the grace and to close in prayer. Hymn number 670 and verse number 4. Do remember the supper. The ladies have provided that for everyone. We'll ask your brother Andrew to go to the door, shake hands with everyone. I know he's met a lot of you coming in, but just to meet you going out, and then you can go over to the hall and have your supper there. Remember also Kenya in your prayers this week as they go through the whole election process once again out there, and the land in political turmoil. So remember out there, please, that God's hand of blessing would be upon Uganda, Kenya, East Africa for good. And that door that was opened by men under God years ago will be kept open for the gospel.
Let's close in prayer. O God, our Father in heaven, we come to thee tonight through our Saviour and through that precious shed blood. And Lord, we thank thee for a real sense of your presence. Lord, we thank thee for a challenge from your word to each heart tonight. And Lord, we thank thee, Lord, as we look at our brother Andrew. We thank thee, Lord, that we are sending a converted man. Lord, we thank thee that we're sending a called man. We thank thee, Lord, for the day that you called him into the work. But Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that he's a man that's gone with the blessing of God upon him. We thank thee, Lord, he's a consecrated man. Lord, we thank thee for the day and hour that you saved him. We thank thee for the day that you called him. And Lord, we thank thee for the challenge that he had when he saw the need in Uganda, that he was willing to go. Lord, we pray for his mom. We pray for his brother and the family. Lord, we pray that you'll be with them and Lord, undertake for them. And Lord, we pray for your servant as he would travel on Thursday. Lord, give him traveling mercies. Take him there in safety. And Lord, I would pray that, Lord, that it'll be a fruitful ministry. Lord, that your servant will have the joy of seeing many of these boys and girls coming to know thee as Saviour. Lord, we thank thee for the talents that you've given him. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that you've sent a man for the work in Uganda. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless that work. And Lord, that you'll encourage all. Now, Lord, we thank thee for the food that has been prepared. Bless it to our bodies and us in thy service, for we ask it all in thy wonderful name. And spread thy covering wings around, till all our wandering cease, and at our Father's blessed abode, our souls arrive in peace. Amen.